Welcome to Wards of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
What's the purpose of your individual life? You know, we all bear many titles. It's really a trendy thing to do on social media today. As you look at your name, you have the opportunity to put a little bit of a biography there for yourself, for others to see and identify you with. It's common for people, myself included, to list their occupation. If they're a follower of Christ, they list that. You might call yourself a disciple of Jesus, a pastor, a husband, a father, a son, a brother. We all have different titles, different responsibilities in this world. The greatest calls that you can identify yourself with is the calls of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we're talking about individuals or we're talking about church bodies, the thing that we should exist for, that which should identify us, is Christ. Today on Words of Grace, I'm sharing with you a message that I have entitled, It's All About Christ, and this was the message that we delivered last Sunday at Flint River Primitive Baptist Church. I introduced this message from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in which the Apostle Paul says that he determined to know nothing among the church at Corinth save Christ Jesus and Him crucified. There are many different agendas in the world that bleed into the church, and sometimes churches in our country lose sight on what it is that we are to be doing. As Christians, it's our responsibility to worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time we come together, Christ is to be at the center of all we do. He's to be the focal point of our worship, and we are to spend our time teaching Christ, not various social agendas, not the ideas of the world, not the current scandals or that which is trendy in the media, but our purpose is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ as we gather together in our assemblies. In this message I share with you today, we speak about that fact that Christ must have all the preeminence, for instance, from the book of Colossians, but we share with you many other passages that talk about the fact that all things are by Him and for Him and through Him, and in everything, Jesus is to be glorified. Here is today's message. It's all about Christ. For by Him were all things created. When you read in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, understand that the creator there is Christ, who would become incarnate as a man, but was eternally deity, and He created the universe. I shared with you recently that in the, quote, economy of the Trinity, which is a theological concept that's confusing, but it's the best way men have come up to explain it. In the economy of the Trinity, you have the God the Father representing God's sovereignty, His will, God the Son as the executor of that, and God the Holy Spirit manifesting that as God creates the universe, the active agent in creation is Christ. The eternal Son of God, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, as John 1 says, and all things were made by Him. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, things that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. All things were created by Him. And all things were created for Him, and by Him all things consist. Hebrews says that He upholds all things by the word of His power. Now, I'm a person who's very conservative in my thought, and I want to be conservative also with the environment. Do you want to go swimming in the Tennessee River and see a car battery float past you? or industrial waste. I want to be conservative and conserve nature. But I've got to tell you, this universe is upheld by the power of God. And while I don't want to breathe smog to my own detriment or swim around in water with industrial waste, at the same time, let me just tell you, this creation is going nowhere until God decides that it will go. And when that happens, it will be dissolved with fervent heat. It is upheld by the word of His power, and in fact, it waxes old as doth a garment. You men folks know what that's about. You probably will say that you've got clothing that's older than some of the people in this room. And the older you get, the more you realize that's actually true. By the time you get the holes in your jeans, they're just good and broken in, right, men? They're all stiff and thick and hard to move in. And when you get the holes in your knees or the back pocket area or wherever it is that it has the holes in it, that's good and broken in. It's nice and soft. We know what it means when a garment wears out. The universe is wearing out. But listen to me. By Him it consists. He is its creator, and He upholds all things by the word of His power. He's creator, He is the sustainer, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have what? The preeminence. Why have we met today? It's about Jesus. You might get mad at the preacher. What happens if your entire religious experience is based upon the preacher and the preacher falls? Pray for me that I don't fall. But what happens then? You're devastated and your entire religious experience can crumble. Pastors come and go. How many pastors has this church had in over 200 years? Several. But if this church is built upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, it can endure, and that rock, Christ, must have the preeminence. In Romans 11, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things." But notice another concept connected with this in the latter clause of this doxology. "To whom be glory forever. Amen." Now this statement, "for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever, amen," is one of what we call the doxologies of Scripture. We have a hymn in our hymnal that we call the doxology. How many of you have that memorized? "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Doxology comes from doxa, which is a Greek word that has reference to glory. This is one of the doxologies of Scripture. Paul would make these statements after coming to some profound theological point. In this case, God counts both the Jew and the Gentile that belong to Him in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. And he comes to the end of it all and he says, "The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Who has known the mind of the Lord or been His counselor? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Doxology. But notice that. Of Christ are all things. What's the one exception to that? Because for most rules, there is an exception. Sin is not of Him. What's the origin of sin in creation? Adam. With the exception of sin, all things are of Him, all things are through Him, all things are to Him, to whom be glory forever. So if you take this last phrase, glory, and you connect it with this first phrase, of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things, you can come to the conclusion that everything in creation exists for the glory of God's Son. That's a question that little kids struggle with every day. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be? It's such a crisis in our country that it goes far beyond, am I going to grow up to be a doctor, a lawyer, a police officer, a construction worker, an engineer, But we have such an identity crisis in this country that little kids don't even know whether or not they're human on the inside. You exist for the glory of God. Specifically, that Christ would be glorified. There are things that people do each and every day trying to fill this void in their soul, not understanding that their purpose is simply to glorify Christ. And if they do that, they have lasting fulfillment and satisfaction in their life. If you would just simply glorify Jesus, live for His glory. By the way, Christ will be glorified in my obedience, or Christ will be glorified in chastening me for my disobedience. But which of those is better for you? Him being glorified in your obedience. Because no chastening, though it glorifies Him as well, is pleasant in the moment of chastening, even though, as we learn from chastening, we are better off and our lives are better, and Christ is glorified in that as well. But everything exists from this verse for the glory of Christ, of Him, through Him, and to Him, to whom be glory forever. That is the big question. Why do I exist? Why am I here? Why is this world in existence? Do you ever sit and ponder even existence itself? You can sit and think about things like that until your brain hurts. The purpose for your existence is to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. It's a simple answer. To glorify Him and to experience Him. That is why you are here. In 1 Corinthians 15:27, we read that God has put all things, another all things in connection with Christ, all things under His feet. And so Jesus has not only the preeminence but the rule, and according to 1 Corinthians 15, He must reign until He has put all enemies under His feet. Beyond that, all spiritual blessings that we have are in Christ. And we read that in the book of Romans chapter 8. That through His death we are given all things freely. That is Romans 8:32. But being more specific, given all things freely through Christ, I want to emphasize from Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2 that all aspects of our salvation from our sins are rooted in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every aspect. Every aspect of our salvation. This is something that I wish Americans knew. American Christians don't understand the aspects of salvation. Getting saved is getting saved. And, you know, a lot of them point it to one day in your life when you made a decision, and they don't realize how grand a topic salvation is. It begins before the world began. It was purchased upon the cross of Christ. It is brought to you personally through the Holy Spirit when God takes up residence in your heart, and it will be finished when you are raised from the dead, glorified, conformed to the image of Jesus, and carried to be with Him in glory. Salvation is a huge subject with multiple aspects. You can find those in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. But specifically in Ephesians, think about this. Look at how Christ is in all of this. Paul writes to the faithful in Christ. He says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Okay? All spiritual blessings that we have are, number one, in heavenly places, and number two, in Christ. Every spiritual blessing you have is what? In Christ. Spiritual blessings, all of them are in Christ. There is no spiritual blessing that you have that is not in Christ. Again, what's the most important thing that you can associate yourself with in this world and be known for in this world? He is a Christian. He is a Christian. She is a Christian, a follower of Christ, connected with Christ. What is to be the most important
person in your life? Who is to be the most important person in your life? You might think, my husband, my wife, my favorite kid, all of my kids, my parent. Now, some of you have favorite kids, and we heard about that yesterday, and I love what the brother said. My favorite kid is the one that's not arguing with me at the moment. That's the end of the story. You know, who's dad's favorite? Dad doesn't have a favorite. Dad just doesn't want to get argued with and doesn't want to get irritated with you. I'm a simple person. I don't do the play favorites thing. That's a very destructive thing to little kids. Who's your favorite person? Christ. Because every spiritual blessing we have is in Christ. Now listen to this. According as He, God the Father, has chosen us in Him, Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You were chosen by the Father in His Son, Christ. That's phenomenal. Before God created this universe, you were in His mind. Now, you didn't exist. Your consciousness was not there. But in the mind and purpose of God, you were chosen in His Son. And then you were predestinated unto the adoption of children by what? Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Predestinated, pre, before, destinated, destiny. Your destiny was set before creation to be adopted by Jesus Christ to Himself. Predestination unto adoption by Christ. You see how this is in Christ. In Christ. To the praise of the glory of His grace. There's His glory again, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. What's that verse talking about? Redemption through whose blood? Christ. Through the blood of Christ. Wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. This wisdom is in Christ. Look at verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in Him, chosen in Christ, predestinated unto adoption in Christ, redeemed by the blood of Christ, gathered together in the resurrection at the end of time in Christ. Now, what does it mean to be gathered in Christ? Does your mind work like mine, where you have this imagery of a giant Christ and we're all just living in His chest? No, in Christ is your identity. It's your identity. You're gathered together in Him, under His name. There is a part of His people, the people that are called the body of Christ, of whom He is head. You are identified by Christ. That is your true identity. In the dispensation of times, He gathers together all of His people in one, in Christ. Those in heaven, those in earth, all of His people gathered together in Christ, in whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And this is to the praise and glory of Christ. You fast forward down to verse 19. And you read that regeneration is by the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And as regenerated people, as you see in chapter 2 and verse 10, we are His workmanship created in what? Christ. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. And to me, this is insightful as to how all things were made for Him, by Him, to Him, through Him, to whom be glory forever. Amen, as Romans says. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we read that there's no name given among men whereby we must be saved. And as you know, in John chapter 14, Jesus would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. A note on that, and I'll read it just in brief, because I want to conclude in just a moment in Philippians chapter 2. In John 14, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Did you come to church today with a troubled heart? I think many of us did. You might be troubled about a circumstance in the world outside of your control. I remember Elder Sonny Piles years ago exhorting the church never to worry about things over which you have no control. What good does it do? If you have no control over it, you can't impact the situation. So don't worry about it, because all that is doing is bringing yourself grief. Instead, cast your care upon Him who cares for you as unto a faithful Creator. Jesus says here, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Believe in me. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Most of us have that verse memorized. The word mansion there is shifted in its usage in the English language from 1611 until today. At its translation, it simply meant a place to stay. Now it means a luxurious house. You ever tried to envision how in a house there are many luxurious houses? Well, Jesus is simply saying, "In my Father's house there are many places for you to stay." That word mansion in 1611 simply meant a place of abode where you can be. Jesus is giving us a metaphor, telling us that He is going to prepare a place for us. He's going to the cross. He is going to die for us. And He will take us to be where He is, in His Father's house. There are many places because His Father has many people. Praise God, salvation is not for just a few. Heaven is not for just a few, but for an innumerable number of people out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Heaven is a place full of those worshiping God. There are many places for them, and He goes to prepare a place for them, and He will come again. He will receive you unto Himself, that where He is, you may be also. And we are yet waiting for Him to come even today. Thomas, often called Doubting Thomas, "Lord, we don't know where You're going. How in the world can we know how to get there?" And Jesus looks at him and He says, "I am the way. I am the way. I am how you get there. I am the truth and I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Paul lived an interesting life, and I direct you to our closing passage today, Philippians chapter 3. As Paul was recounting his life, he begins this third chapter with a, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Finally, he's coming to some conclusions, and being a good long-winded preacher, there's another chapter after that that begins with "therefore." "Finally, my brethren," and he begins to warn about people and talk about how repeating the same truths over and over is safe for them. He begins speaking about his flesh, his upbringing, his life, and though he may have confidence in the flesh, more than any other man, he counts his pedigree as rubbish, waste, even dung for what he has in Christ. He says he was circumcised the eighth day according to the law. He was of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I can think back to high school. The people who were the most popular people always made it into that who's who. Who's who? A man's man. What's that emphasizing? Of all of the men, he's the most manliest. He's a man's man, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. If there was an epitome of being a faithful Hebrew Jewish man in Paul's day, it was Paul. He was who's who, man's man, Hebrew of the Hebrews, as Hebrew as you could be. What's he going to count all of those impressive pedigrees for Christ? We'll answer that in a moment. As touching the law, a Pharisee, he was a part of the elite group, the Pharisees. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I was happy to say goodbye to all of that for the Lord Jesus Christ. yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Pause. By this point in Paul's life, he has been rejected by his countrymen, the Hebrews, the Pharisees. They hate him. They want him dead. He begins his ministry escaping out the side of a wall through a window, being let down by a basket to leave as people are there waiting for his life. He would be beaten on multiple occasions, whipped across the back with the whip, beaten with rods, stoned and left for dead, shipwrecked on a number of occasions, and as he writes this epistle, he is in jail. He had a life of power and a life of ease, and he gave it up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you the question, what have you given up in your life for Jesus? Even if you don't realize there are things that you have given up, you've given up things for Jesus. Are there times in your life where your friends do things that you know that they should not be doing, and they invite you and you say, no, you gave something up for Jesus? There are men who have spent their lives preaching the gospel who gave up careers, who gave up where they lived, who gave up their homes, who gave up what they had, their roots, for Jesus. There are people out of our land of ease and religious liberty who give up even their lives for Jesus. Paul gave up everything he had for Christ, for the excellency of the knowledge of his Lord Jesus Christ. And he counted all of that pedigree, all of that clout, all of that power, and all of that wealth as dung. That strong language. And it's Bible language. The most detestable of waste. Something that you have no desire to keep whatsoever. It's graphic. It might even be offensive to you. That's what he compares everything he gave up that the world would esteem for the glory of Christ. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, that is Christ in him, the hope of glory, the faith that is of Christ, the righteousness of God which is by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Here in Philippians 2, Paul says that he endures all of these things that he might even win Christ. And so as we close today, what are we meeting for? What is our purpose? Why are we here? We're here for Christ. It's that simple. We are here for Christ. Paul says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. And finally, Words of Grace is a listener-supported program. To contact us, address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.